Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Saturday, the 25th of July. My name's Nick Hurley. Starting with Wall Street. Interestingly, the S&P 500 is actually now in positive territory for the year. What the website Zero Hedge is calling it, it's actually calling it the S&P 5. So if you just take the year-to-date returns of the top five stock in the S&P, which is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, the S&P 5 is actually up 35% year-to-date. And if you were to look at the remaining S&P 495, the market is actually down, still negative territory for the year, down 5%. So just that was some research from Goldman Sachs, and just highlights the heavy bias we now have of the big five in the S&P, and the sort of the growth, the rush towards growth that we've seen. And on the topic of growth stocks, Nomura, the Japanese investment bank, has come out with a paper talking about they see a big pain trade event happening in September. So they talk that, we've got yields that are really sort of artificially low due to the Federal Reserve intervention, and that if there was even the smallest sort of spike in yields, it could trigger quite a lot of asset repricing across asset classes. They see that there would be a, it would cause the growth stocks to really collapse, and maybe a rebalance towards more value, but also it would send commodities such as gold tumbling. We've seen gold soar this week, and silver as well. Now, why would this be? They see that just in terms of the calendar year, July and August is typically the summer sort of holiday months, and there's a bond issuance is generally lower, and people are away, and sort of things really pick up again in September, and they see that there'll be a huge sort of tons of bond supply into the market that could cause yields to pick up and then trigger this sort of this correction that sort of building. And coming back to Australia, some more positive news here. Iron ore, our number one export, which has been trading above $100 a ton and has been in big demand from China as they sort of build their way out of the corona recession. The iron ore exporters from the Pilbara region have applied to increase volumes by another 90 million tons, and that would mean we'd be able to ship another $15 billion worth of iron ore at current prices, which would increase the tonnage through Port Hedland to more than 635 million tons, which is almost 20% more than the record of 531 million tons shipped through that port this last financial year. Now, the Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg had a statement yesterday, talking on Thursday, talking about the sort of the economic impact of the coronavirus recession. However, in their forecast, they've forecasted iron ore almost halving in value down to about $50, which is very conservative and maybe intentionally so. Even if iron ore stayed where it is now, we'd have an increase in GDP of $9 billion and an additional $2.2 billion in tax receipts over the next couple of years. So it might be our good old thing that we do best, dig holes in the ground, and maybe what will carry us through this, severe economic shock from the coronavirus. And moving to the markets now. Gold has gone through US$1,900 an ounce, which is great for those with a very long position in gold. The markets are off quite a bit this morning. That's due to a number of reasons. Further news, as I mentioned, with the sort of cooling down and the recovery in the US, plus we've got that the embassy sort of feud between China, adding to fears. There's also some disappointing earnings in the US earnings season, including American Express and Intel. And coming up on Monday here in Australia, not too much happening in terms of the economic calendar. We do have the RBA Assistant Governor Kent speaking, and that is your early finance briefing for Saturday, July the 25th. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.